Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for August 12, 2019. We'll begin our reading this morning with the front page article entitled "Lincoln Slept Here, Smith Family Restores a Danville Landmark" by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Reverting a piece of Danville's history is going to take time. After all, residents are used to seeing owners of the historic Fisher Theater, various homes such as in the west downtown area and other buildings, being brought back to life. John and Karen Smith, formerly of Ireland, are taking on the historic Harmon House, which also has been called the Colonel Harmon Mansion, at 522 East Main Street. They came to Danville last year after purchasing the house, which they saw photos online, and are tackling the numerous projects to make it their home. The circa 1850s Harmon House had been abandoned and saved in the past. Colonel Oscar Fitzalan Harmon had a farm, which originally extended to Stony Creek. It was divided into building lots in 1888. Harmon and his wife Elizabeth built the house on 30 acres of land on the south side of what is now East Main Street. At that time, it was on the east edge of the village of Danville, and Harmon referred to the property as his little farm. The walls of the antebellum-style brick home are nearly a foot thick, and walnut wood was used extensively in the building, according to Don Richter with the Vermilion County Museum. Harmon's little farm had stables, an ice house, an orchard, and a rose garden. By 1860, Harmon was a leader in the community and was representing his district in the Illinois House of Representatives. His friend Abraham Lincoln, who stayed with the Harmons during some visits to Danville, was his advisor when he entered politics. In November 1860, Lincoln was elected U.S. President. The house has seen numerous uses through more recent decades. It and the house next door at 530 East Main Street, which both in the past were connected, and the Smiths also bought, have been a bridal and tuxedo shop, restaurant, catering service, dinner theater, hospital for Wabash Railroad employees, church chapel, funeral home, addiction center, and rehabilitation facility for alcoholics and drug abusers, and a residence. It was in pretty rough shape when the Smiths purchased it. "We got a surprise when we got here," Karen said. Karen said their first order of business was to clean. Carpet had been taken out, and they continued to address the industrial parts of the home and large open spaces that had been for the restaurant. One of the stories they've heard from others about the former restaurant was that it used to have an upside-down Christmas tree from the ceiling in one of the areas. The real estate notice stated it was an investor's dream, with its 6,000 square feet of space, including multiple kitchens, bedrooms, family rooms, and also the house next door. The Smiths were going to use the front parlor room of the Harmon House for their parrots and had painted a bird-themed wall with that in mind, but then decided against it. Other work on their list includes replacing windows and getting rid of the industrial parts, such as those relating to the pipes and wiring. They've also put up a fence for their dogs. They're looking at the color scheme and other home details. They said they'll continue working on the home little by little to try to restore it. The plantation-style porch was reportedly added in 1921. The house also includes a great hall area, atrium, and sunrooms. Ireland roots. The Smiths came about 7,500 miles, which is about a 9 to 10 hour flight to Danville from Offaly, a county in... It's about 1.5 hours from Dublin, John said. They lived in a rural setting, so coming to Danville and being within walking distance to shops and restaurants and other amenities, such as bus stops, has been quite a different experience for them. John is from the Chicago area and met Karen when he went to university for computer science in Ireland. John was looking to move back to the United States to be closer to his mother, who has since passed away. A house purchase fell through in Cullum, near Kankakee, and a night of insomnia led Karen to find the Harmon House online. Karen said, "I like the architecture." John said he was familiar with Danville and this area because they used to work for CompuCom and worked on computers, such as at Walmart's and other businesses south of Orland Park in Illinois. Now John works in information technology for Blue Cross Blue Shield. Karen said they were also looking for a big historic home and yard. Realtor Jody Barney was wonderful to work with and dealing with an international sale, they said. Daughters Nicole Bolton Smith, 18, and Rebecca Smith, 19, came first to live in the house in Danville in July 2018. Karen and John came a few months after that. They brought with them only 4 suitcases of clothes and necessities. They've since bought furniture and little knickknacks and items online and from stores such as Rabbit Town, Antiques, to make the house feel more like a home. They've had to most recently deal with a water main break in the house and are still trying to see how to best utilize the space. Nicole said she loves learning about the history of the house. Historic background. In her Irish accent, Nicole can rattle off historic information about the house, such as about the second-story west side bedroom Abraham Lincoln stayed in, Lincoln listening to a Harmon daughter play piano, Harmon standing at a second-floor window to look out during Lincoln's whistle-stop train tour through Danville as Lincoln gave a speech as he made his trip to Washington. The Smiths call that window area Lincoln Landing. They said they were lucky to have received information about the house from the Civil War Roundtable and local historian Larry Weatherford. We would have never known the significance of this house, Karen said. She also said the community has been very helpful and welcoming. People who walk by on East Main Street say hello. Others who also have been welcoming include First Baptist Church, City Code Inspector Jim Mahari, the Rabbit Town Neighborhood Association, and Patricia and Mary Pettigrew, Cheryl Foley, and others, they said. John, who's a Navy vet, said the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System also has been good to him, and Nicole and Rebecca also have attended Danville Area Community College. I'm not a town-city person, Karen said, but she and Nicole said they really enjoyed living in Danville and going to various shops such as Glory Days and Flea Pickers USA downtown. Nicole also volunteers at the Vermilion County War Museum. The Smiths said they love the history of the Harmon House and it will take time to get it in good shape. The hardest part has been researching it, said John. He said getting information about it has been a little difficult. There's so much you don't anticipate, Karen added. She said they're still trying to decide how to use all of the space. It doesn't connect very well. The home is going to take a lot of work and a lot of money, she added, but we'll get there. Our next article is entitled Governor Signs Bill Aimed at Changing Culture in the Workplace by Jerry Nowicki, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Friday signed into law a measure aimed at preventing workplace sexual harassment and protecting victims who come forward. The measure, Senate Bill 75, was unanimously passed in both the State House and Senate earlier this year. We're not only changing the law, we're changing the culture. We're standing with victims and saying enough is enough, said Senator Melinda Bush, a Grays Lake Democrat, who ushered the bill through the Senate, and said in a news release, with these measures in place, workers will have more protections under the law, and employers will be more proactive about educating employees and preventing these situations. The omnibus legislation was the result of months of legislative negotiations, which combined several anti-sexual harassment initiatives into one all-encompassing bill. According to a news release from the governor's office, the new law strengthens protections for employees, responsibilities for employers, and accountability for abusers, with particular attention given to hotels, casinos, and state government. Sexual harassment is unacceptable and will not be tolerated in the state of Illinois, Pritzker said in a statement. This common-sense law makes it clear that the days of turning a blind eye to sexual harassment in the workplace are over. The new law will take effect January 1, 2020, with the casino and hotel regulations beginning July 1, 2020. It requires all employers to provide workplace sexual harassment training at least once a year and advises workers on steps they can take after reporting incidents of harassment or discrimination. Restaurants and bars will be required to provide specialized training and to adopt anti-harassment policies. It also requires employers to report findings and settlements concerning sexual harassment or unlawful discrimination to the Department of Human Rights. Under the new law, failure to train employees or report these instances could result in a $500 penalty to businesses with fewer than 4 workers for the first offense, $1,000 for the second, and $3,000 for offenses after that. For businesses with 4 or more employees, the fines would be up to $1,000, $3,000, and $5,000 for each respective offense. The new law also prohibits employers from requiring employees to keep quiet or waive their rights regarding harassment, discrimination, and retaliation. It bans employers from retaliating against employees who do speak out. It also allows victims of gender-related violence to take unpaid leave from work to seek medical help, legal assistance, counseling, safety planning, and other assistance. Hotels and casinos will be required to equip employees working alone with a panic button or other safety device and must develop written and anti-sexual harassment policies to protect employees against sexual harassment and sexual assault by guests. The new law also prevents a union official from representing both a victim of sexual harassment and the alleged harasser in a disciplinary proceeding. It also makes several changes to state ethics laws by ensuring harassment victims have a right to testify before an ethics commission, can make an impact statement as part of the Inspector General's report, receive notice of their rights and the Inspector General's decision to open or close an investigation, and can review any Inspector General's summary report and suggest redactions. Victims will also have a right to file a response to a summary report. The bill, however, says any person, including those filing sexual harassment complaints, who receives a copy of the Inspector General's summary report, shall keep the report confidential and shall not disclose the report prior to the publication of the report by the Legislative Ethics Commission. Any complainant who violates this part of the bill shall be subject to an administrative fine by the Legislative Ethics Commission of up to $5,000. While we've made significant strides within state government to make sure those who have endured unacceptable behavior are heard and respected, this measure expands our focus to acknowledge the challenges faced by women and at-risk individuals throughout our workplace. State Representative Ann Williams, Democrat of Chicago, the bill's chief House sponsor, said in a news release. The bill also requires local governments to provide for reporting and independent review of sexual harassment involving local elected officials and expands the Human Rights Act to prohibit harassment against contractors. Representative Mark Badenick, a Plainfield Republican, was one of dozens of House co-sponsors on the bill. This year, I was proud to sponsor many pieces of legislation to protect women and ensure their safety in the workplace, he said in a statement. This bill is a necessary addition to our arsenal and a step forward in making workplaces across our state better and safer places to work for every employee. The next article was in the News Gazette yesterday, and it's entitled, Bucking a Passion. Georgetown Fair Rodeo, The Legislator No Longer Rides Bronx, His Obsession Indoors, by Anthony Zillis. Georgetown. State Rep. Mike Marin pulled on his cowboy boots on Thursday night, placed his hat atop his head, hopped onto his gray horse named Goose, and plodded into the muddy pit area at the Georgetown Fair's rodeo. Gone were the chaps that he wore when he used to ride saddle bronc horses, which buck the rider off as he hangs on as long as possible. He and his wife, Brandy, agree he's past those days, when he could still take the punishment of the physically demanding event. I'm getting a little older, and I'm not as fast as I once was, he said, so we're trying a new event. So last week, Marin tried team roping for the first time, an event in which two riders try to lasso a small steer as quickly as possible. Rodeos were a constant in his life after he participated in his first at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield in March 1994, when he was a senior in high school. He used to go to 15 or 20 a year, including ones as far away as Arizona and Utah. But as he has become busier as an elected official, that's waned. The Georgetown Fair Rodeo is his first of the year. When I was a kid, and when I was in college and after college, I dedicated a lot of time to it, he said. It was one of the main focuses of my life. I was never real good, but I had a lot of fun. Much of Mike and Brady's life together revolves around their horses. When he's not in Springfield, where he took office last September, their evenings are spent riding along with their daughter, Ainsley, for whom they recently bought a pony. Sometimes they'll just ride around the pasture, and others, Brandy will ride around the barrels while he watches, or she'll pull the roping dummy as he tries to lasso it. They first crossed paths at the Vermilion County Fairgrounds as kids, when she gave him a ribbon, although they didn't realize it until much later. When the event finally arrived on Thursday evening, Goose, a relatively new horse for Marin, hesitated out of the gate as the steer pulled away, so Marin wasn't able to lasso it in time. It takes a while to get with the horse, Brady said. They each have their own personalities. You can tell when they're starting to get nervous, or they're calm, or they're ready to go, or they just don't really feel good. You can pick up on a horse things and really get to know them. Well, it's treated as a sport in some respects. The rodeo is a lighthearted event at times, with the announcer and the clowns constantly making jokes and putting on quick comedy sketches in between events. When the announcer pulled him over and started asking him questions on the microphone, Marin joined in on the fun. You run into more horse manure in Springfield than you do at the rodeo, he said. I would tend to agree with that, the announcer responded. Marin, though, has always been serious about his love for the sport. There's nothing like it in the world, he said. Especially when you make a good ride, it can be a very frustrating sport. But when everything goes right and you win, and you really conquer a tough bucking horse, there's no feeling like it in the world. We'll now turn to obituaries. The first is Homer Sanders. Looking toward heaven with a made-up mind, fixed heart and eyes set on Jesus, Homer Sanders passed from his earthly life to eternal life, Tuesday, August 6, 2019, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville, Illinois. A homegoing celebration was held at noon today, August 12th, at the New Life Church of Faith in Danville. Visitation preceded the service. It was also yesterday from 3 to 6 p.m., with the family present at 4 to 6 at Mason Temple. Officiating was Pastor Alan Dixon, interment at Sand Hill Cemetery. William Paul Craig, Sr., passed away August 5th, 2019. Visitation was today from 10 to 11 a.m. at the VA Iliana Chapel in Danville. Services followed at the VA Iliana Chapel with burial at Danville National Cemetery. Rick Lynn McDaniel, 60, of Georgetown, passed away at 9:04 a.m. Saturday, August 3rd, 2019, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, Urbana. Per his wishes, Rick will be accorded cremation rites, and there will be no services. Memorial donations may be given in his name to any humane society or animal shelter of the donor's choice. Sharon Hayes, 70, of Westville, passed away on Saturday, August 10th, 2019. A memorial service will be held at 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 13th, 2019, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 414 South State Street, Westville. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. And now we'll turn to a sports story, well worth the wait. Senior Legion Baseball, Danville Post 210. By Colin Likas, Charleston. This game had to be decided by a Chase Vinson moment. The lone four-year member of Danville Post 210 Senior Legion baseball team had to be involved in the final play of Sunday's winner-take-all Great Lakes Regional Championship game versus Beverly Lowell, Ohio, Post 389-750. And the Oakwood graduate found himself in that position. But it wasn't in the batter's box or on the mound, as he has often paced the speakers in his tenure. It was leading off second base and eventually making a mad dash toward third. The kid, he made a heck of a play, and he popped right up, Vincent said. Kind of knew it was going to be a foot race, and I knew he was just going to dive for the bag. It was just going to be a matter of inches. Vincent came out on the winning end of the battle, and Post 210 is headed to its first ever American Legion World Series, the result of a 4-3 walk-off victory. Trevor Davis swatted a hot shot down the third baseline with the bases loaded and two out in the bottom of the seventh inning. It was snared by a diving Kurt Taylor, but Vincent outstretched Taylor, while Chase Rademacher scored to secure the walk-off success for the speakers at Eastern Illinois Coaches Stadium. No one noticed that he stopped the ball because as soon as Trevor hit it, everyone was already going crazy, said Ernest Plummer, who was named tournament MVP for hitting 600 across six games. Even me, I jumped up. I was like, oh, let's go. And then once I noticed Taylor had it, I was like kind of quiet down a little bit. The celebration was merely delayed by a few seconds, and Davis soon found himself under a mob of orange and green-clad athletes in shallow right field. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew we had the right guys up, and we needed to make it happen, Post 210 coach Alan Shepard said. We didn't want to go to the eighth inning. The play capped a wild day for the speakers, 35-8-1, who posted a 14-6 triumph over Beverly Lowell earlier Sunday to earn the right at one final matchup. Unlike most of Post 210's regional bouts, the title game centered around stout pitching. Oakwood senior Elijah Harden received starting duties in the matinee and permitted two runs while stranding 10 base runners across five innings. I was in the bullpen before the game. I was working and I was like, all right, I'm good, Harden said, and then right before we went out there, I just looked down and I saw I was shaking like crazy. A Logan Spicer solo home run, a Cota Broker RBI single, and a Rademacher sacrifice fly backed Harden, who left with a 3-2 advantage. Rademacher shifted from catcher to pitcher over the final two frames, trying to duplicate his state-winning performance the week prior. The Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin alumnus retired the first five hitters he faced, one on a running, leaping catch by Lucas Hofer near the fence in right field, and later had Beverly Lowell down to its final strike. But a Mason Long single was followed by a wild pitch, and Nate Brothers knotted the event at three with a single. I don't really think we were worried at any point, even when we lost a game to Beverly Lowell on Friday, Plummer said. We always know we have a strong team. We can bounce back. Plummer led off the bottom of the seventh with a single, but was erased on a Broker double play ball induced by Brett Gandy, who tossed a complete game for Beverly Lowell. Rademacher and Vincent each kept the frame alive with a single, and Spicer drew an intentional pass to set the table for the Danville senior, Davis. They walked Spicer into a DI player, said Shepard, referencing Davis's commitment to Eastern Illinois, and we'll take that all day. After consecutive regional runner-up displays in 2017 and 2018, the speakers finally became the belle of the ball. Their reward is a spot in the American Legion World Series, which opens Thursday in Shelby, North Carolina. Post 210 draws Petal Valves, Louisiana, in the tournament opener, slated for 9 a.m. on ESPN3. Shepard is looking forward both to the event and the few days his guys get to recover from their strenuous postseason thus far. Once the speakers get to North Carolina, the heat is back on, in a way never before felt in this program's 54 years. None of us have ever played any games like this, Vincent said. We don't know what to expect. I can't imagine too many teams do. I just think we're going out there and playing just to give it our all. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville, entitled Celebrate Co-Working, by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC at DAC. Last Friday was officially co-working day, recognizing the 14th anniversary of the reintroduction of co-work by Brad Newberg. The initial space was called the Spiral Muse and was located in a house in San Francisco. In its infancy, the concept targeted computer programmers and developers, enticing them out of their homes with free Wi-Fi, a pleasant work environment, food, and coffee. By sharing space, home-based workers could enjoy the community and structure of a working environment, but still be self-employed without bearing all the costs of a separate facility. When most businesses were located in a central business district, it wasn't unusual to have multi-story buildings with various individual offices dividing up the space and sharing amenities. Through the years, the trend moved to one or two businesses in standalone structures with multiple employees. Especially since the Great Recession, more and more people chose to be self-employed and frequently operated their businesses from their homes. Working from home comes with advantages, but can also bring distractions, the lack of space to conduct their business, and a professional environment in which to meet customers. Co-working spaces offer a solution with shared workspace and our private office space available for rent on a month-to-month basis. In the past 2 years, the concept has come to Vermilion County with the Wilden Building in Hoopston and Liftoff Downtown in Danville. Both offer private office space and shared common areas that include conference room space and break rooms. The Wilden Building was built in 1907 as a five-story office building, housing a bank on the first floor. Today, Sculpt Fitness occupies the first floor space, and remodeled office space is available on the second floor with a shared conference room space. In subsequent phases, the third through fifth floors will be renovated for use as well. Today, those retain much of the original historic elements. The building is owned by the Save the Lorraine Foundation in Hoopston, and information on rental is available at www.wildenbuilding.com or through the Wilden Building Facebook page. Liftoff Downtown offers five private office spaces, as well as an open area with tables, workstations, business equipment, Wi-Fi access, and a caffeination station. Shared space members also have access to conference room space or private office space scheduled through a Google Calendar. Dedicated private office renters have all the same perks with the added benefit of space of their own. Downtown Danville, Inc. owns the space, and more information can be found at www.liftoffdowntown.com or the Liftoff Downtown Facebook page. The Danville Downtown Event Center offers a similar option for food-based businesses who may be in search of a commercial kitchen for food preparation only, or a space for a full pop-up restaurant concept. For more information, see the Danville Downtown Event Center Facebook page. The Illinois SBDC at DAX is available for support to businesses throughout Vermilion County, whether you are considering co-work or any other type of business, and can be reached at 217-213-6269. Rediscover the fun of working for yourself with other entrepreneurs in Vermilion County. Carol Nichols is the Executive Director of the Illinois Small Business Development Center at DAC in Danville. She can be reached at 217-442-7232 or sbdc@dacc.edu. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for August 12, 2019. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.